right, guys, welcome to the show. This is End of the Apocalypse, episode 138. Chudex and I are here. We just recorded an episode about an hour ago, so I don't know.
Long time no see. Well, yeah. I can tell you what I did in between, and then I'll ask you what you did yesterday. We just shot off the rest of our fireworks because was the 4th of July, and we forgot to take a couple to the party we went to, and we just had a few extras. So we just, you know, had a little fun out there.
Cool.
What'd you do for the 4th? You blow anything up? You jam any firecrackers up sheep's asses or anything stupid?
No.
That's mighty humane of you to not do that.
I didn't do anything. I sat at home and enjoyed the silence of where I live.
Yeah, was it nice and quiet?
Yeah, I think there's like a bigger fireworks show like somewhere down near the river.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could hear like some stuff going off, but it was nice. Yeah, it's been pretty loud where I've been for the past 25 years. So it's nice to have my dogs not freaking out and, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I liked fireworks when I was a kid. Of course, all kids do. And then I didn't care at all for like the bulk of my life. But still, I did them quite a bit because I'd always be at a party or something. And I'd always say, I don't care. And then after, you know, 12 or 13 or 15 beers, like just sitting in a chair, lighting shit and throwing it and, you know, being stupid. But now I got kids and that like 8-year-old goes ape shit. He wants to fucking blow everything up. And this year was kind of rad because he's, like I said, he's 8. So he's now at that point where I can light a punk for him and give him the bag of the stuff I feel comfortable with him doing. And he goes 50 yards away and we sit back and eat steak and watch him light shit off. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Emily's moved studios. She just turned in her keys at her old place. So she never has to go to that horrible masked up place again.
Cool. Tell me more about that. I didn't hear anything until I listened to that intro to the last episode.
Well, Emily's been at the Awakenings Wellness Center in Southeast Portland, Oregon. Has a suspicious spiral for a logo.
No shit.
Yep. And it's where we the first time that we ever got something that wasn't a park for our like PDX free thinkers, which was like the Freedom Cells thing, it was in their spare room. And the landlord like came off as like this super, you know, freedom minded guy who was kind of subverting the system, even though he had to like, you know, operate in it in Portland. Mm-hmm. And, it's like a house with a whole bunch of alternative medicine, you know, like massage and acupuncture and naturopaths and stuff in the building. And from that, Emily met somebody who has helped her get a studio in there, and she started her own business, you know, during COVID, and was like extremely successful right out of the gate, which is really, really rare. And then COVID ends, the mask mandate lifts here in Oregon, and they run the place like they have like a community guidelines. They have like community meetings where the people can all vote on things, and all these alternate health practitioners voted to keep the mask mandate in play.
Oh, wow. That's
and Emily did all this like extra research, like contacted the Oregon Health Authority and like everybody that's in charge of mask mandates, because the people were saying like, oh, well, we're a medical facility. And like our argument was like, well, maybe inside your little room, it's a medical facility, but an esthetician isn't a medical facility.
Yeah.
That's like saying like, if you went to a dentist's office, that's like in an office building, you don't have to wear a mask throughout the whole office building.
Yeah.
You would have to wear it when you got to the
to the dentist so he can't see your mouth.
Yeah. So they like, she did all this research, got like letters from the Oregon Health Authority, and then they voted as a community that you needed to do it. And so Emily was like, no. And the guy's like, well, I'm going to have to, if you don't abide by community guidelines, I have to evict you. And so she just went and found a way more awesome place that's like way, like five times bigger, and like, it's beautiful. And I helped her build it out. So I've been
a little more independent too.
Oh yeah. Like,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It's in a building. It's in like, there's no common entrance or anything.
She's paying like rent for her space.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. That's, there's other businesses awesome. Around her, but nothing that could do that. And like, this guy is such a piece of shit. He like goes to like freedom events and stuff. And like, he comes up to Emily. He's like, oh, I really tried to go to bat for you. It's like, no, you didn't. You own the building. You know, you told her you were going to evict her.
Yeah.
If she didn't wear a mask, you know. And then like, he ran for city council a couple of years ago, and she like looked him up, and he's got all this stuff in there about the Green New Deal and ESG and equity and inclusion and all this shit like that. So he's a typical scumbag, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. snake in the grass.
So
I mean, if I saw him at a freedom meetup, I'd call his ass out.
That's good. That's good to do. I mean, he sucks, but that's good that you'd stand up for him or for Emily like that. I'm glad that Emily stood up for herself to change her situation.
Yeah.
And it sounds like from that intro that you recorded, you've been building shelves and stuff. So it's being very customized for her.
Yeah.
I'm assuming from that.
And
that
yeah. Sounds I built shelves, and I put up like a sliding like barn door thing for her, and did some painting and put up curtain rod. And it's just, but I've been driving into Portland every day, and
now that sucks, but
dealing with that. So yeah.
Hey, you're doing it for your wife. That's a noble cause.
Yeah. But she's out of there today, and her first client is tomorrow at the new place. So it's awesome.
Excellent. I'm happy for you guys.
I just want everyone to know that even though I was threatened with eviction, and everyone in the quote unquote community of the building I used to rent at tried to bully me into wearing a mask, I never did. I didn't give in.
You're the best, Emily.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, I'm very, very proud of her. And she stood up for herself, and she's going to be rewarded for it, you know? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, this is an improvement on every level. So
yeah,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah. So that's what's been going on with me. So yeah. So yesterday, I just kind of took the day off and had a day. She had to go into town to do her last stuff, and where she did the last of it today. But I was done on Sunday. So yesterday I kind of slept a little later and just kind of took the day off, did some little stuff around the house. But we're getting a bathroom. We're adding a bathroom to the house. So they've been coming every day and working on it. So I've been hanging out with those guys, and yeah, sounds cool. Cool.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah. Our guest is here. We don't need to do any business this episode. I'll get it out of the way on the next one. Let's let him in and get going, because it's late.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, guys, we're back. We're here with our guest for this week, Josh Monday from the Christian and Conspiracies podcast. What's going on, brother?
What's up, brother? Thank you so much for having me. The podcast is Josh Monday, Christian and Conspiracy Podcast. If you guys want to check it out,
tell us a little bit about it.
Well, what I do is it's me and my brother. He's my co-host, and we just every week we have a different guest on, and we try to take a conspiracy and show people how it relates to the Bible. That's kind of our whole niche, you know. I was on like a Dangerous World podcast. I was on My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. I'm a Christian rapper as well. So I kind of did a song called Signs of Things to Come. And that kind of introduced me into the podcast scene. I started doing podcasting a little bit with Dangerous World, Legit Bat, and My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. But what I noticed is what I noticed was that a lot of people that are in the conspiracy scene are not getting fed the word of God enough. That's how I felt, you know, and I felt there's a lot of new age type of stuff out there,
yeah.
A lot of synchronicity and stuff like that, you know, and I don't mind, man, people can believe whatever they want to believe. I'm not going to push anything on anybody, but what it is it's nice for me to take conspiracies and show it how it relates to the Bible. That way the conspiracy theorists are also getting fed the word of God, you know, that's kind of what I try to do. I want to be a light in the room and show them that for me, I personally believe that the Bible is absolute truth and that the only absolute truth is coming from God. So I have to have a foundation. As you guys know, man, when you dig into all these conspiracies, if you have no foundation, man, you're just going to be, you're going to think everything is a lie. So, I mean, pretty much that's kind of how I am in some ways too, though, but especially from the government and all that stuff I hear, but having a foundation, you know, of the Bible and God, for me, it's like I have spiritual weapons. I have a lot of stuff that I can have. You know, I believe that everything in life is a spiritual battle, and you're always, you know, getting tempted by the devil, or you know, you're getting tested, and you know, it's just good to have that the foundation of God in your life. No, I don't know if you guys agree with that or if you guys are Christians yourselves, but.
Oh man, that's beautiful. I love what you said there. I don't consider myself to be a Christian at this point in time. That's subject to change at any point in time. But you know, like you said, when you're into conspiracies, it can start to seem like everything's a lie. And I use that. I say that quite often, that conspiracy leads you to seeing that everything's a lie, and that can actually be kind of a freeing idea. Because we know that the government is lying to us so much, because there's one thing that I know, and that's that humans have a divine spark. And I believe that the government and everyone else that's telling all these lies are doing that. They all seem to point towards them trying to cover up that we have a divine spark. And this is all a spiritual war. Everything is a spiritual war.
There we go.
And that's where all of these conspiracies lead. So hearing you say what you just said and having a foundation in the Bible, that puts that we're in good company. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I've found, you know, this is, I think, episode 138 or something. I might've just contradicted what I said at the start of the episode, but, the further and further, I wouldn't have called myself a Christian at the start, 138 episodes ago. I don't know if I believed in God 138 episodes ago. I definitely believe in God now. I definitely believe that there are evil spirits. I believe that there are benevolent spirits as well. If there's evil ones, there's got to be good ones. And you know, I'm toeing the line with Christianity as well. I've been going to Orthodox Church every Sunday, and you know, I just want to find out the truth. And the farther I go down this this rabbit hole, the more I think that it's you know, in the word of God. So
I think it's great, because I'm telling you guys, the most dangerous to Satan and to the devil is somebody that has been through the boot camp of conspiracies. And you guys kind of can see the way the devil works compared to an average Christian that has never seen any type or studied any type of evil. What they're getting fed is the milk of the Bible, right? So what they're getting fed is the milk, and they're not really realizing that there's a spiritual battle and that Satan is real. And they forgot the fact that hell is real and the fact that heaven is real. So, I mean, I know that they think heaven is real, but it's just, they're not really thinking of like a literal heaven. I think sometimes it's the churches are, it's great to go to church. I do go to church as well. I go to Calvary Chapel, but I go and when I listen to my pastor preach, I listen to him preach and I take in what he says, and I chew up the meat, spit out the bones. And I study what he says too, to make sure that it's correct. I think that everybody out there, if you are being fed from a pastor, which I love my pastor, he's awesome, but you need to make sure you're studying exactly what he's talking about, because there's certain doctrines out there that you can get slipped up on. And my whole point to that was that we are as conspiracy theorists, as you convert to Christianity, you're going to be a strong Christian that has been through let's say like war, even though, you know, you've seen the war, you've seen certain things that other Christians have not seen. So I think you're going to be a strong Christian, and you're going to be like Paul, because Paul, like in the Bible, he's a spiritual warrior, man. He was actually killing Christians, but then he ended up converting, right? And he was so strong, like it's like as you read his word, you could tell I just think that it's powerful, man. When you learn all these conspiracies and you learn the devil, you know, like you learn him and then you find God. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah. Seriously. You know, it's like something that you hear in conspiracy circles all the time is to do your own research. You know, listen to what I'm saying, but don't believe me. Do your own research. And if you take that and apply that to the Christian, you know, you got your pastor, you listen to your pastor.
Yes.
Do your own research.
Yes.
You know, that seems like a really good approach. And that would make you certainly a much stronger Christian than the one who just, you know, goes to the church that they picked, that they threw a dart at, and they just listen to their pastor and they say that's how it goes.
Yeah. I really agree, man. I think it's just important to do that, man. As we do with, we watch, you know, YouTube videos, we watch, we read books and we listen, we learn from conspiracy theorists. We also, as conspiracy theorists, what do? We go and research what they said to make sure it's true, right? I think that you should do the same thing with your Bible, with your pastors, because they have certain doctrines that they follow and they're stuck with. I think it's good for a pastor to start talking about something and give you the different scenarios that are out there. You know what I mean? Like the Trinity, right? There's like the Trinity. Then there's like the Unitarians. Then there's like the Oneness Pentecostals. It's nice if they kind of go over all three and then you pray to God and you find out what you feel. Because before, when I used to go to Calvary Chapel, I always believed in the Trinity. And I never knew about any other beliefs of that. But as I start, once I start doing these shows, which is awesome to do podcasts, you start doing like you do an episode on the Trinity. And then I started studying all these different, different denominations and be like, wow, there's all these different I didn't even know about, because the pastors never teach you about it. But I believe it's good to take the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity, but still, I'm just saying it's nice to know about the different denominations of what they believe. So you could pray to God and you could find, you know, use your own discernment to find out what you believe, you know.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I went to I think the first Sunday I went was actually Pentecost, which is a big feast, and it was like a extra special service, and they had all the Ukrainian women from the church cooked dinner lunch after. So it was down in the basement of the church, and everybody's down there, and a couple of people knew that I had a podcast. And one guy was like, he's like, hey, Adam, what's your favorite thing to get into on the podcast? And I said, oh, I don't know. I'm always scared to tell the truth when it comes to this stuff to people. But I was like, I'm in church. I might as well tell the truth. And I go, oh, my favorite thing to get into is probably earth shaped stuff. And he goes, oh, right on. Cool, man. He goes, you're in the right spot then. So,
okay. Well, yeah. I could tell you guys, man, that's what we're kind of going to go over today. Okay. So that was a nice, like, little intro into what's going on. But okay. So, okay. Out of all the conspiracies that I studied personally, I ended up, once we came across flat earth, I tried to take this conspiracy, see how it relates to the Bible. The one that mostly related to the Bible, I think personally, was flat earth. The other one that came in second, I believe would be like hollow earth. Okay. But I'm not talking about hollow earth like Nazis flying in and seeing UFOs. For me, the hollow earth part would be like hell being in the earth or underneath the earth. That's number two. But if you want to get into the flat earth thing, I mean, I could kind of do like a flat earth from a biblical perspective and kind of tell you guys, some stuff that I found out, man, if you guys are down with that.
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay. So first off, I think what people need to understand, if you're a Christian and you believe the Bible, I think you should take the 100% of the Bible and believe it, and don't just take like 70%. What happens with me is, what happens with some people is they take the Bible and they filter it through science, right? And whatever doesn't match with science, they just take that part and they put it to the side. But me, I just take everything that's in science, I filter it through the Bible, and if it doesn't match up, I throw that stuff to the side. Okay. That's how I do it. Because if we're going to be Christians and we're going to be like 100% with God, we need to take it all. Like, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, right? Not by works, so that no man shall boast, not of yourself. So in order to build faith, you need to listen to the word of God. That's what builds faith, right? So I think 100% of the Bible is true, and I'm going to take all of it in. And when atheist scientists try to tell me, like, hey, this is how the earth was created, this is how the universe was created, then I'm going to say, well, let me go to the Word of God and find out what it says. If it doesn't match up with what this atheist scientist that's only been around for 60 years, when God's been around for eternity, I'm going to trust the Word of God over that, you know? So what we did is we kind of get into it. So I just kind of want to go over a few things first that the scientists say. So here's what the scientists say. So they say the Earth's at a 23.4 degree axis, spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, right? And they're saying that we're rotating around the sun at 66,600 miles an hour. Now, that's an interesting number. I'll show you at the end how all this connects to the mark of the beast, okay? But right now, that we'll just go with that. So when you talk to anybody that believes that the earth is not flat, that it's a globe and all that stuff, the 1,000 mile an hour thing, it's like, okay, maybe we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. But when you tell them that we're rotating around the sun at 66,600 miles an hour, that kind of even makes them stumble. They're like, what? Because what happens is they tell you all these numbers when you're in grade school and you don't even think about it. But when you become an adult and you find out that we're supposedly moving at 66,600 miles an hour around the sun, to me, that's just crazy. Also, they say that the International Space Station is supposedly orbiting the Earth at 17,000 miles an hour. Well, if you look it up, the fastest bullet travels 1,800 miles per hour. So they're saying that it's going like almost 9 times faster than a bullet orbiting the Earth. And people have no issues with them just flying up to it and just hopping on like it's nothing. It's going 9 times faster than a bullet. Those people have bigger balls than any military member I've ever met in my entire life if they're doing that. And they're also doing that while we're rotating around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. Isn't that kind of crazy to you guys?
100% crazy.
Like insane, right?
Yeah.
It's
like the kind of stuff, like, you just start examining this and you go, that's bonkers. It's bonkers. It doesn't make sense. And it's what's crazy is that we all believed it at one point in our life. We all believed this for most of our lives, you know?
Indoctrination like crazy. Ever since you first get into, go ahead, Adam, I'm sorry.
I don't think people even believe it because I don't think people know that. I don't think anyone's ever even, before I got into conspiracies and stuff, I would have just said, yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson said it's a ball. That guy's a smart dude. And he's kind of funny, you know? But I don't remember any of those stats from cartoons or from kindergarten or anything like that. You know,
they might have told them to us in like elementary school. Like you said, and the numbers just don't mean anything. We go, oh, fast.
Yeah. We don't even know. We have no idea. But that is insane to me. And they also say that the universe moves at 525,000 miles an hour. So the whole entire universe is moving. And then we're going 66,000. Yeah, expanding. But dude, it's just crazy. And then so also we got to think about this. This is a very important thing. So the closest star, they said, is 4.5 light years away. 1 light year is 6 trillion miles away. Okay. So that's the closest star. I don't know what the furthest star is, but as I'm going through this, you guys got to think about how far away that puts God away from us. Okay. I'll go over, the firmament and all that stuff in a little bit, but you'll see how far away that these Illuminati, Jesuit, disgustos are trying to place God away from us. Okay. Far away. Okay. Trillions and trillions and trillions of miles away. Okay. So another thing is there's the scientific trinity. Okay, guys, there's the Big Bang theory, which came from George Lamont,
Jesuit priest, right?
Jesuit priest. So you guys got to understand that anytime you see the word, or anytime you see anybody being a Jesuit and you're a conspiracy theorist, you automatically have to just shut it down and go, all right, listen, we got to definitely research this guy and find out. So he's a Catholic priest. He says that with the Earth began 13.8 billion years ago. It started as like a pin, right? The size of a pin. And this energy just exploded. And that these planets all came together by what? Not by God, but by gravity. Okay. So gravity is like their God. Okay, guys. The scientific trinity would be the Big Bang, and then we got evolution, and then the heliocentric globe. All that, those three go together. When you read the Bible and you get into it, you can't really believe the globe and the Big Bang and evolution, and then go right back to the Bible and say, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm going to believe that. I'm not saying that it's impossible to do. You can do it if you like to, but that type of stuff is all man-made pseudoscience. Okay. These guys have no idea how the earth was created unless they go directly to the Bible. And that's what we're going to do right now. Okay. So let's go directly in. And so first off, before we go, do you guys have any questions about any of that stuff?
I'm good so far.
So good. Yeah.
We all know, before I start, we all know that they want us to be worshiping the S-U-N, the sun. They want everything revolving around the sun. Okay. As you look into like Egyptian sun worship, you see the obelisk in Rome, you see the obelisk in all these different places. So just want to let you guys know that part. Okay. So as we go into the Bible real quick, I want to let you guys know that Moses wrote the Genesis. Okay. We have to understand that God is explaining to Moses how he created the earth. One thing you guys have to understand is that Moses is, if you were listening to God, right, and he was speaking to you on how he created the earth, would you take your own twist on it, or would you listen to God and write exactly what he said? Personally, I would say God is talking to me. I'm not going to lie right now because I know that's a sin. I'm going to write exactly what God said. So as you guys are listening to this, think about that, all right? So day one, okay, guys, day one of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's day one. That's the heavens and the earth created, okay? Day two, the oceans and the firmament are created. Day three, the dry land, plants, and vegetation are created. It wasn't until day four that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars also. So what was the earth rotating around on day three? Think about that. The sun was created on day four. Wouldn't God create the sun first, and then the moon, the sun, and the stars, and then the planets, which it doesn't even say that in the Bible. And then you would probably, you know, have all that stuff rotating, right? But no. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting way that God created it, right? They're created on the fourth day.
Yeah.
It also doesn't say anything about planets. It just says the stars also, right? So right. I thought that was pretty interesting, right? So that's why I don't believe that the earth is rotating around the sun. I believe the earth is stationary. There's also different verses I'll go through. I think it's fixed, and the Bible has plenty of verses about it being fixed. In 1 Chronicles 16:30, it says, "He has fixed the earth firm, immovable." Psalms 93:1, it says, "Thou hast fixed the earth immovable and firm." Psalm 96:10, "He has fixed the earth firm, immovable." Psalms 104:5, it says, "Thou hast fixed the earth on its foundations, so it cannot be shaken." Isaiah 45:18, "Who made the earth and fastened it, and himself fixed it fast." Okay, so Isaiah 43, it says, "Mine has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens, which I call unto them and stand up together." So for me, the earth is fixed. That's where I'm at so far. Okay. So we have the moon and the sun are moving is some verses that on him. So when I said that the sun is moving and the moon is moving, here's some verses that prove that. It says that in Joshua 10:13, it says, "And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hath not go down upon a whole day." And then there's also another one, Isaiah 38:7. It says, "And this sign to you from the Lord, and the Lord will do his thing, which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial 10 degrees backwards." So he says the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial, which it had gone down. So he says that he moved it 10 degrees back, right? So in Joshua, it says that he had made the moon and the sun stand still. And it says for a whole day, right? So yep. He doesn't say that he made the earth stay still. and, you know, and stop rotating. If you talk to these pseudoscientists and they said that, you know, what would happen if this, if the earth stopped moving and rotating, everything would probably fall off the earth. It'd be insane. Right. Yeah, yeah, dude. So anyway, so yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then we can kind of get into how the moon is a light and the sun is a light. They're like two different lights. Genesis 1, okay, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven and divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days. The firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. So God is saying that he created two lights. He didn't say that he created the sun to shine off of the moon. He said he has two great lights. Now, they in the flat earth community, they did an experiment where they actually tested if the moon's light was colder than, you know, so in the shade, they basically, they take a temperature gauge and they check it. And the moon's light is colder than in the shade, right?
Yeah.
So right. It was just super interesting.
Yeah, So just to clarify on that, because that just came up in a recent podcast, like when they're saying that the cold moonlight, the light at night from the moon is colder than the shade that's off of it. They're not comparing it to the sunlight during the day at all. That has nothing to do with that comparison.
Yeah.
If you're next to a building and there's the building's casting a shadow, you're going to get a couple degrees or whatever the difference is. I don't know. I've never done this test myself.
Yeah.
This is just what I've heard.
I haven't done it either. I just thought it was interesting how that lines up. So that's what's cool with the flat earth community, the people that are not Christian, but they're flat earthers. I could kind of ask them like, hey, go over what you believe and I'll show you biblically how it lines up, you know, and that's something that lines up with it, you know.
Let me ask you this, Josh, before you get into the next one. Are there any Christian people, like somebody that would be know as much about the Bible as you, but is into the globe earth?
Yes, there is. And there's some people that debate, you know, there's a guy.
What do they say about the firmament?
Okay. So Ken Hovind is a gentleman that he's like a creationist, right? He's like, he's totally into proving evolution wrong. So he says that the firmament was frozen around the earth. That's why the people live longer. It was like this big ice around the earth. But the problem with his theory is he didn't read the part that said he put the moon, sun, and the stars in the firmament. So that would have to be, that frozen thing would have to expand outside of our universe. So what they said, what he says is his theory is that the frozen ice melted and caused the flood is what he said. Okay. Which is not in the Bible whatsoever. First of all, that's a total theory. And I'm not trying to put him down because that gentleman, I mean, he's great at proving evolution wrong. The problem with these guys is that if they challenge biology, you know, they say that depression is from demons, right? So they can challenge psychology. But as soon as you challenge cosmology, everybody gets mad. Oh, no, you can't challenge that because they're indoctrinated just like with NASA, you know? So I just think it's interesting, bro. Literally, bro, you could challenge biology and say that, you know, evolution's not true. You could challenge, you know, psychology and say that that's all mush, that's all demons and people are demon possessed. But as soon as you start talking about cosmology, then they just, oh no, you can't talk about that. And it's crazy because a lot of the theories that people have is not biblical because they take science and they're placing it above the word of God, which is crazy. But it does say right here in Genesis that they put he said that he placed the moon, sun, and the stars in the firmament, right?
Yeah.
Got it.
That I've spoken with a Christian Glober who believed that the Van Allen belts were what the firmament would be.
Is that Bart Sabrell? Is that Bart Sabrell?
That wasn't okay. Bart.
We've had that on our show too.
We had him on too.
He got mad at me.
He got mad. I told him
he didn't get mad at me, but in the very beginning, I said, I just want to let you know that I'm a biblical flat earther. And he just like, well, you know, I could just tell that he's not happy with that, but it's okay. I still love, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you know,
Bart's still great. Even if
I love that guy.
He did great. He's done a lot of good work, But yeah, it's but I didn't have the ammo. I hadn't thought about things from this biblical perspective that you're giving us here when I spoke with this guy. This was in real life. Yeah, those things, the moon and the sun and the stars being within the firmament, that does not line up with the Van Allen belt. You know, that's just that's taking, like you said before, that's taking science and trying to fit it into the Bible.
Yes. It's like taking your theory and saying that that's true because we can't go to the moon because of that. You know, like we got to think about this. OK, so God was mad at humans for trying to build a tower up to heaven. Right. We got to think about that. So is he going to let these little Freemason devil worshiping Satanists go to the moon? No, he ain't going to the moon. Okay. So it's funny, but yeah. It's nice to, I think that, but the people that believe in the globe, I it's like, it's all good. You know what I mean? Like I would never, ever, try to, want to have debates or like argue with people. Like I totally get it, you know, but I just think that biblically, even if I just read Genesis 1 through 14 through 19, which I just read to you guys right now, that totally goes against science. All the stuff I just said right now. First of all, how would scientists explain the firmament? Or how would a glober explain the firmament? What would they say? Oh, the firmament's way like, trillions and trillions of miles away. So what it says in Ezekiel, which I'll go through, is that it says that God's throne is above the firmament. Okay. It says that Ezekiel was looking up and there was crystals, crystal glass, and God's throne is above the firmament. So we know that God's throne is above the firmament. We also know that there's water above the firmament. It says that he separated the waters from the waters. So what do you need for life? You just need water, right? And oxygen. So way out there, trillions and trillions and trillions of miles away, guys, you know that there's water because God says he separated the waters from the waters and created the firmament, which I'll go over for you guys. But how far away did these Satanists place God? If you read the Bible and he says that the firmament and his throne's above the firmament, they say that the closest star is trillions and trillions and trillions of miles away, right? So how far is God away then if they try to say that? I think it's interesting, man.
So you as a biblical flat earther have the argument that everything is much closer, that the moon and the sun are within the firmament, but it's just much, much, much closer.
I think it's a lot closer, yeah. Okay. They say that the sun is 93 million miles away. They say that the moon is 238,000 miles away, right? I just believe that it's a lot closer.
But then the space station's at like 250 miles, right?
Yeah.
Like the space station still in like lower Earth orbit.
It is. And that's the crazy thing. If you get deep into the NASA thing, you could find out a lot of deceptions there, that they're talking about. So that would be
episode. That's what Bart's good for. So
he's really good with that. And there's a lot of people that are good with that. Like ODD TV is also good with that. And, where they're just exposing NASA. But so there's also another verse about the moon, giving off her light. In Ezekiel 32:7, it says, "And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with the cloud, and the moon shall not give her light." So the moon has a light, the sun has a light, right? So that's what the Bible's saying. Let's get into the firmament since we just talked about it, okay, guys? So firmament means rakia. It's rakia in Hebrew, okay? It means solid, beaten out. It's solid, okay? In Greek, it's stereoma. It means solid. Okay, guys, if you speak to someone that speaks Greek and you say stereoma, there's no way that it's Van Allen radiation belt or, certain things that people try to say the firmament is. Okay, they say it's just the heaven or it's the sky, it's the expanse. But if you take it from the King James, it says firmament. As you get closer to these translations coming to us, like, in time, they start saying it's an expanse or it's a canopy, stuff like that. But the King James Version, when they translated it, they said that it's the firmament. Also in the Greek, when they translated it, they said it's stereoma, which is solid. Okay, guys, I just want to let you guys know that to start, okay? So in Genesis 1:6, it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the day were the second day. So there we go. That's the part about separating the waters from the waters that are above the firmament, right? So I just think that's interesting. So I think it's interesting too. If you have a solid dome, and then there's water above that and God's throne above that, think about this. So our body becomes spirit, so we could go through the firmament, and our body becomes spirit, so we can go into the earth. So so when you're spirit, you could go through solid objects, but when you're like this, you can't, right? So I just thought that was pretty interesting, right? So some people that talked about the Ken Hovind thing, remember how he said that it's a solid glass or solid ice, and then and then you know, it caused the flood and melted. Well, in David, in Psalms 148:1-4, which is after the flood, David says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him heights, praise him, praise his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts, praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him, stars of light, praise him, and heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. So that's already after the flood happened, right? David is after the flood, and he's talking about the waters that are above the heaven. David was also super close to God, right? So I just thought that was interesting. So that's the waters above the firmament. It's still there even after the flood. So the Ken Hovind theory, for me, gets thrown out. You know what I mean? That's that right there. And then this is the part of Ezekiel I was telling you guys about, where he looks up and he sees the throne of God above the firmament. It says, then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them as a sapphire stone, as the appearance of likeness of a throne. So as you go through those verses, you're going to find out that it's the throne of God, right? There's also in Revelation 4:6, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So in Revelation, it says that God's throne, and there's a sea of glass that's like crystal, right? So now we're kind of getting a picture of what the firmament looks like. I wish I could show you guys this picture of, it's like a small picture. It just shows you that there's a firmament, there's the flat land, right? And then inside the earth is Sheol, and then there's water above the firmament, and above that is God's throne. That's what
like the one that says like heaven of heavens and all that on it.
Yes.
I've got a shirt from Old Scary World with that on it. It's badass.
Yeah. That picture. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting because that is literally the depiction. If you read the Bible all the way through and you found out, that's the depiction of it. I just love that picture. It like explains it perfect. Have you guys heard of Operation Fishbowl?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So just for your audience to know, so Operation Fishbowl, the original name was Operation Dominique Chama, okay? Dominique, it in Latin means belonging to God, and Chama means fixed shell. So that was the original name for it, and then it turned into Operation Fishbowl. If you guys understand what a fishbowl looks like, right? So it's going to be like flat land, and above it would be glass, right? And then on the top is a hole. So what they did is they were doing the military was doing a series of high altitude nuclear tests in 1962 that were carried out by the United States government as a part of the larger Operation Dominique nuclear test program. So they were basically taking missiles, which they called Thor. That's what the missiles were called. And it was going up and trying to explode in high altitudes. And they said that they were able to see from the whole atmosphere, they're saying these explosions, right? So I think that it's kind of interesting that they took a missile called Thor. So they're mocking God, and they're shooting it up into the atmosphere, trying to blow a hole in the fishbowl, which you could call the firmament, right? And obviously it didn't work. You know, they couldn't do it, because even Wernher von Braun was saying on his tombstone, I know you guys have probably already know this, right? Yeah. He supposedly got saved in like 1966. I don't know. I'm sorry. When he was 66 years old, which is I don't know if he got saved. I mean, who knows? They put that out.
If Werner von Braun can get saved, anybody can. So that's
I know. So he supposedly got saved. I did a little research on that. But on his tombstone, it says it's Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So I just thought that was interesting that he would put that on there. I think he was just giving us a little clue. Maybe not. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
Why would he even use that word? Like, why would that be where he gets immortalized on a stone? You know, yeah. I don't know. It's that there's that that will always be fishy to me.
I wonder if that headstone's like, if it's in Huntsville, Alabama, if you can go look at it, that'd be something to go see.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of it, but yeah, I haven't actually seen it. So anyways, interesting. And then Genesis 1:8, and God called the firmament heaven and the evening and the second day, which I kind of already went over. Let's see. And then there's also something interesting. There's three heavens in the Bible. Okay. So one heaven would be where the birds fly. The second heaven would be where the moon, the sun, and the stars are. And the third heaven would be above the firmament, where God's throne is and where God's angels are. So Paul in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 12 verses 2 through 4, he talks about going to the third heaven. He went to the third heaven. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. And he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So he's talking about going up, right? That's what most of the people always say in the Bible, is heaven is up. He says he goes up to the third heaven. So let me ask you guys a question. If I was Paul and I've never been introduced to technology, and I went up to the third heaven and I had to go through trillions and trillions and trillions of miles and go through stars and go past planets and see all these things spinning around all the way. Don't you think he would mention that? I mean, I would mention it.
Yeah, mention it at least.
At least. He doesn't say anything in this verse about, guys, I went to the third heaven and I was on a crazy trip, like all the way trillions and trillions of miles away. No.
He just says, he would have written a whole nother book.
A whole
book to describe the structure of the universe, as we call it.
His main thing he was talking about is, I heard unspeakable words, which is unlawful for a man to utter. That's all he said. He doesn't say anything about, you know, going all, you know, through these different dimensions or any of that stuff. And you know what? In the Bible, dimensions is not even a Hebrew word, anything. So all these people try to say that God's in another dimension, or he's far away, or all that stuff. Like, I never hear anything in the Bible about God being in another dimension, which I don't know if he's in another dimension above the firmament, but I don't see that in the Bible anywhere, just to let you guys know. Another interesting thing is when Jesus was baptized, right? When Jesus was baptized, it's Matthew 3:16-17. It says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So they talk about the heavens opening up, right? And God speaking from what? Above the firmament, and his Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. That's pretty self-explanatory. He's above the firmament, right? And he's right there. He's not trillions and trillions of miles away, you know? So I just thought that was pretty interesting. Any questions so far on any of it?
No, this is great.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Trying to keep up.
Okay. So trying to keep up with it. Okay. So also whenever you see Enoch and Elijah, both of them went, both of them were taken up to heaven. It says up to heaven, both of them, right? It just says up to heaven. It doesn't say anything about to another dimension. Elijah was on a chariot, and it says he went up to heaven. So what I want to tell you guys, when you guys were first, before you got indoctrinated, when you first heard about, you know, God, what did you think? Heaven is up and hell is down. And that's what the Bible says. So that's what you naturally feel. Is that what you guys naturally felt when you guys were growing up?
100%.
Yeah.
right? Okay, so it's interesting because when you read the Bible, that's exactly how it's laid out. So another verse for the firmament, I kind of went over that one, the sapphire stone. All right, so here's the verse that Globers are going to use to try to tell you guys, hey, it's in the Bible, it's right here. I'm going to tell you, this is exactly the verse that they use. It's Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 22. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and his inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. So first off, when you break this verse down, it says the circle of the earth. So if there was a firmament and God was above the firmament, and there's a circle, which all flat earthers, most of them believe at least it's in a circle, and Antarctica's around us. So if God's looking down on us like grasshoppers, that would be the circle. It doesn't say anything about a sphere, doesn't say anything about a ball. And even our Isaiah clearly knows the difference, because in Isaiah 22:18, he says, he will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country, and thou shalt not die. So he knows the difference between a ball and a circle. He chose to say that, that, you know, he's looking down on us like grasshoppers and the circle of the earth. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And also, I was in the military, right? I never put a tent on a ball. I would stretch out a tent on flat surface, right? So it says right here, it says, and he spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He stretches out the heaven like a curtain, right? And he spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah.
So, and he's also, if we all knew that God was above the firmament watching all of us like grasshoppers, I think it'd be like, you know, if my boss is watching me at work, usually I'm like typing, I'm like trying to make sure I look busy, you know? That's what we would all do. We would all be following what God says, because we knew that God is above the firmament watching us like grasshoppers. I think that a lot of people, if they knew that 100%, you know, if they read the Bible and they knew that, I think it would be like a different world personally, you know? But what do you guys think?
Yeah,
I think it's pretty compelling evidence so far. I'm really enjoying hearing all this stuff. I've never heard it from the Bible perspective. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so here's some more stuff that's interesting. So in Revelation 1, verses 7 through 8, it's talking about Jesus coming back, right? It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall be well because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was to come, the Almighty. So it says that every eye will see. So when Jesus comes back, every eye will see. And now since we are on a flat plane, I believe, when Jesus comes back, every eye will see. But if we were on a ball, then only a quarter of the earth would see, right? So. Right. I just think it's interesting. And it talks about the heavens being open like a scroll and Jesus coming in. So he's above the firmament at the right hand of the Father, right? And God opens up the firmament like a scroll, and he comes in, on a cloud. It literally says that. There's also some interesting stuff. It says that stars will fall from heaven, right? So if the stars are all suns and there's planets rotating around them, and Jesus says that the stars are going to fall from heaven, I think it's interesting. If you go with what the scientists say, there's no possible way that the stars can just fall from heaven and come to the earth. So in Revelation 6, verses 13 through 15, it says, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, which she is shaken by a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of its places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens in the rocks of the mountains. So I just thought that was interesting. And if you're a Christian, you know that Jesus can't sin, right? So he even says that in Matthew or in Mark, it says, but in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give her light and the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. So if the stars are going to fall to the earth, how does that happen in the globe model? It's impossible because the stars are supposed to be suns, all of them. There's supposed to be 200 billion stars. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, at best I could think maybe, you know, asteroids or comets or whatever, you know, being confused as being stars, if those things even exist or have happened, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
You know, shooting stars, you know, things like that. But you know,
that's exactly, dude, that's crazy because that's exactly what you're going to find mainstream pastors saying, that it's asteroids coming. And it's now listen. Okay. What I'm going to say is that Jesus, okay, is on the earth and he cannot lie. He cannot sin. We believe as Christians that Jesus was sinless. So if he tells us that the stars are going to fall from heaven, what are we going to, we're going to take it. I'm going to take it literally that the stars are going to fall. I don't care what scientists tell me. Right.
And then for that to not be a lie, if he is talking about shooting stars, asteroids, comets, whatever the right term is, meteors, then that would mean that he is ignorant to the structure of the universe, you know, like that he didn't really know, you know, just like anybody else, like we don't really know. So he was just making his best guess. Yeah, those were stars, you know.
And in the Bible, bro, it says that everything was created through Jesus.
Yeah,
okay. In Corinthians, through Jesus. When God is talking to Jesus, when he, you know, let's make man in our image. That's what I believe, you know. So everything is created through Jesus. He's going to know all of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's going to know. He doesn't need to tell us that stars are going to fall. He's going to tell you asteroids or meteors or something like that. So I just think that that's pretty interesting that he said that. But go ahead, Adam. Did you have a question?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. So let's take that. I take the Bible literal. Some people don't. Also, let's think about the flood. Okay. In Genesis 7:11, in this, it says, in the 1600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open. So if you think about a fishbowl or, you know, just a firmament and the waters are coming up, it's easier to flood the flat earth than it is to flood the globe. I think it's interesting. And it says that the windows of heaven were open. If you read the book of Enoch, which is not canon like in America, but it is canon in other places, it talks about the firmament, like parts of the firmament are open like a door and the waters from above came into the earth. And also the fountains of the deep, which are like the foundations, the water came up also. So it came up like this and also in, and it rained also. So there was a few different things that happened there, but it wasn't just rain for 40 days. He's talking about the windows of heaven were open. So I think it's pretty interesting.
Dude, I like that. I've put a lot of thought, not from a Christian perspective, but you know, like I've put a lot of thought into the idea of water, space having water, as we call it, space or whatever. And I've also put a lot of thought into like hydroplate action, that the floods could have come from below.
Yeah.
As much, you know, like that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that rain just flooded the earth, no matter what model, no matter what you're talking.
But
I really like that. That's kind of hitting on all three points of interest with the floods to me.
Yeah. And you see how the scientists are trying to hide certain things, man. It's like, as you read the Bible, you just see, wow, it just makes sense, you know? And then we also have like Daniel. There's like the highest tree and highest mountain now, or the highest tree. Daniel, this is a vision, so I don't put like a whole bunch of weight on a vision. But still, Daniel is saying that he saw a tree of great height at the center of the earth, reaching with its top to the sky, visible to earth's farthest bounds. So he's talking about going to the top of the tree and being able to see the earth to its farthest bounds. Also, when the devil takes Jesus up on the mountain, it says he took him to the highest mountaintop, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, and he said that these will be yours if you bow down to me. So we took them to the highest mountain, and they were able to see all the kingdoms of the earth. So I thought that was kind of interesting as well. Let's see what else we got. Oh, also another thing we got to think about. God also makes it so that we breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide, right? And then the trees take in our carbon dioxide and they breathe out oxygen. There's also a water cycle. I work in the water industry. That's perfect, right? The water cycle. All the stuff is perfect for it to be an enclosed system, and it's okay. You know what I mean? Everything would work out just fine. When you think about a vacuum of space, and then, you know, I don't know where they try to say that the vacuum is there and it's not. I think that's just crazy, man. Like thinking about that. I think an enclosed system works, man. I think it works, bro. Like, and God made it perfect, you know, and as these scientists get, once these scientists, I just realized it because I've been watching a lot of them, like people that have converted to Christianity. Once they start finding out more and more and more, they start going, there's no possible way that this was not created by God, because it just gets so intricate. You know, God is like detailed and so intricate. I just think it's awesome. So we also have, also have earth is a footstool. That's another one. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, right? Which is above the firmament, and the earth is my footstool. Where now the footstool, if you see a footstool, it's always flat. And then it has like foundations, right? So I just think it's cool that God's talking about the heaven is my throne, which is above the firmament, and the earth is my footstool. And what else do we got? We got Jeremiah 31:37. It says that thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for thy have done, saith the Lord. So he's just talking about how the foundations of the earth, he's talking about the heavens. And there's some interesting stuff that Rob Skiba, that's a guy that if you guys want to get into some Christian stuff, you guys can, flat earth Christian stuff. He passed away, they say, from COVID. I don't know, man. It's interesting, but, he was against all that stuff and he ended up passing away, which is interesting. But Rob Skiba,
Russ Dizdar is?
No, but I'll have to look it up.
He was a Christian, satanic ritual abuse, like deprogrammer, you know?
Wow.
And he died. Him and his wife suspiciously died of COVID as well.
Both? That is crazy. Yeah, they seem like they took some people out that were important to this industry. So 2 Thessalonians 2:11. This is what's interesting, okay? So it talks about God sending a strong delusion, and even the elect will be will fall into this lie. So it says, "And for this reason, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie." So he's also talking about the Antichrist and the beast system in that 2 Thessalonians, which is Paul talking, right? So in a way, I personally think that this could be the strong delusion, because in the Bible, it's talking about everything against the scientific community and the flat earth, and everything that the Bible's talking about, it's all going against all that beast system, right? So if you think about it, let's calculate all this stuff. So we'll find out how many 666s there are. Okay. So we have, if you think about the curvature of the earth, it's every 1 mile is 8 inches squared. Okay. So if you take 8, you divide it by 12, it's 0.66 of a foot. As you go 10 feet, it becomes 6.66 of a foot. And as you go, 100 feet, it ends up 66.66. So that's there. Also,
that's the formulation for the curvature of the earth.
Every 1 mile is,
yeah, I know that eight inches squared, but once it's expanded out more and more.
If you take 8 inches, you divide it by 12, then it comes out to 0.66 of a foot. So we got that there. Also, you got 66,600 miles an hour. It's how fast we're going around the sun. So we got another 666. And then you got 23.4 degree Earth axis. Subtract that by 90 degrees, you got 66.6 degrees. And then yeah. also
gravity blew my mind.
And then gravity.
So you take 90, which would be straight up and down, vertical, yes. and you subtract what they say are the
23.4.
I heard that for the first time, and then I was at, you know, this is years ago, and I was at someplace with my wife, and there was a globe, and I picked it up.
Oh, he froze a little bit, Paul. He'll be back in a second.
No problem. It happens. Hey, yeah, same thing happens. Oh, Paul, I want to hear
it. Because, you know, she.
Sorry.
Okay. So you pick up the globe, and then what happened?
Am I back yet?
Yeah, you're back.
Hey, so I pick up the globe, and I'm with my wife, and we just heard this, and hadn't you know researched it at all. But we look, and it has, you know, like the thing that holds it has the degrees on it.
Yeah.
And we see it, and we see that 23.4, and quick math, and we're like, holy shit, right here. Yeah. It's encoded right here on this globe that's sitting on this shelf at our friend's house. 666, like yes. right there. I mean, we were both a little flabbergasted.
And then gravity too. Gravity is discovered in 1666. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's four different ways that you could think about this system. And even my wife doesn't believe in the flat earth. She despises it, but it's crazy. But I kind of went over these numbers with her, and she was even like, whoa, that's kind of crazy, you know? So you could just see how Satan is involved, you know? Like we said, it's a spiritual battle all times. I think another thing we got to think about too, guys, is water, okay? It's always level. I work in the water industry. Water is always level. So let me grab something real quick. Give me one sec, guys. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, water being level is a weird one. You know, you think about like sea level, you know, how tall things are. We base it on this level idea.
So yeah, this is what my wife loves right here. This is the globe, right? No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, so between like, I don't know what this is. Anyways, look at how the water curves. This is exactly what they're telling us, that the water curves like this and that it curves all around the earth. That's what we always see. That's the picture we see. And all those pictures you see are all CGI. They're not real photos. Okay, guys, this is made by someone from NASA. So one thing that you never see, go to Michigan Lake and go from one side of the lake all the way to the other. It could be 10 miles. It could be 12 miles. It could be 20 miles, whatever. And it's flat. Okay. There's people that did, they take a Nikon camera and they could see all the way across the lake. So why does the ocean curve like this, but the lake doesn't curve like this? Okay. They say that earth ocean curves, but if you take a Nikon camera, you could see that there's no curvature in the ocean. And guys, I'm telling you, the ocean does not curve like this. This is insane. If you guys think that the ocean curves like this, because water does not curve. If you take water, it always levels. We even use water as a leveler, right? That's what we use in the construction industry, right? We use water because it always finds its level. Why would it curve only on the ocean? And then if the moon was also causing all these tides and all this stuff, then why doesn't it do that with Michigan Lake?
Yeah, okay. I can
think of one example that's not true. If you get a drop of water and you land it on a flat surface, you'll see that it'll retain tension and will have a little bit of curvature there.
Yeah,
but we're talking a single drop.
Yeah,
but you can't see it in a large body of water.
Yeah, but you don't see it.
But I do, but I have seen that.
It's true though. If you take like it's called a meniscus. It's like basically when you take a little tiny circle and you fill up this like sample bottle, you get like a little meniscus where the water does curve. Yeah. But it has to be a tiny drop, right? And it's on the very top. Or what you said, it does. Now, if you see a water droplet, I try to look at rain and see if maybe the water curves, but it doesn't curve if it's in a huge body of water. It just doesn't happen.
Never, never, never.
They try to say that it's because gravity, which is their God, is pushing on all this water, which there's trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of pounds of water, which I don't understand how it's holding it anyway. And it's causing it to curve. But that's not, you don't find that scientifically in any lake or anything like that. Okay. I'm telling you guys, once they came out with the Nikon camera that can actually, and I'm not saying that the Nikon's even powerful enough to show us, you know, 30 miles, but if you do the curvature of the earth and how much curvature would be in front of that Nikon camera, it's not there. There were scientists that are globers that went out to try to prove the globe right. And they took a laser beam from one side of this lake all the way to the other side. And they could see the laser. Okay. And it was like 8 miles or 9 miles. They're supposed to be like, you know, 10 miles of curvature above that, but you don't see that. So there's really interesting stuff, guys. It's pseudoscience when they tell you all this stuff, because we're all indoctrinated about this. But if you're a Christian, please read the Bible. Okay. Find out how the earth was created through this, not this. The Bible is on my phone. Sorry. Not this thing. Don't look at this. No, I'm just kidding. That's all my notes. That's why I'm holding it up.
Yeah, through the
Bible. I have the Bible in my truck. Anyways, so listen, find out how the earth was created through the Bible. Okay. And then take what the scientists say. And like I said, filter that through the Bible. And if it's not there and you're a Christian and you really believe in God, find out how he created the earth just by reading Genesis. It's easy. You don't need Neil Tyson Degrassi to tell you, because he keeps slipping up, dude. That dude keeps slipping up, man. He slips up a lot trying to say that, well, now it's an obelisk, or now it's a pear shape.
Pear shape, yeah.
And then when they had that gentleman do the, what's his name? The dude, the Red Bull jump. He had those, you know, he had the curved cameras, the fish eye lens.
Yeah.
And then he had to say that, like, Neil Tyson Degrassi had to bring that up and say, oh, he's not going to be able to see the curvature from that high up. You know, that's right. A fisheye lens. You see him slipping up a lot, man. So
that's what happens every time. And Neil deGrasse is the prime example. But, you know, whatever height it is, well, you're not up high enough. You don't understand how big the earth is. If you think you should be able to see it, like, it's like one person will say, oh, I can see it. I go and look at the beach. I stand on the beach and I can see the curve. And then a scientist or someone smart says, no, you can't. And then they say, well, I can see it when I'm on a mountain. Well, no, you can't. Well, I can see it when I'm in an airplane. Well, no, you can't. Yep. I can see it from a weather balloon. No, you can't. You know, it's just, you got to be in a spaceship. You got
to be part of NASA.
Yeah. According you to have the, to be to part the, of that one organization.
To the 8 inches per mile squared, right?
Uh-huh.
Or eight inches squared per mile. Is that what
yeah.
it is?
Yeah.
So I got this one from Moral Bob too. If you look at the New York skyline, it's bigger than a mile.
Uh-huh.
The buildings should be, skyscrapers should be going like that, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're all like that.
They're all parallel.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot, man, that you can now, if you could do a lot of experiments and you could prove the curvature of the earth wrong. Now, either the earth is way bigger than they're telling us. There's more land somewhere. I don't know, man. Maybe they are. If it is a globe, then they're lying about something, because when you do the math, trigonometry, it says that every 1 mile is 8 inches squared, according to what they tell us. Okay. It's either way bigger than what they're saying, or it's not true what they're saying. You know, the only way we're getting this is from NASA. Okay. If you guys look into NASA, it was started by what? It was started by Wernher von Braun, a Nazi, Operation Paperclip. I'm sure your viewers are familiar with that. Look into that. Yeah. Also, if you look into the Roman gods, it's going to be, you know, Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto, Mars, all that stuff. And also the Brotherhood of Saturnalia was the German. That's a brotherhood that's in Germany. That's secret society. Saturn. What is the first satellite that they put up was going to be the Saturn. They also put Apollo. They put all these, they're all mocking God. You guys got to understand that Satan's involved in all this deception. NASA doesn't ever say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for blessing us with this beautiful place. Nah, man, it's all, you know, Roman, which we know that the Jesuits, we know that Rome, all roads lead back to Rome. They're all Roman gods that they're trying to put on the moon. Right? They're trying to like place Apollo on the moon, which is also a god. It's like, it has nothing to do with God of the Bible. Okay. They Republican, Democrats, whoever tries to say they're, you know, I'm with God. They're not with God. They're all satanic. You know what I'm saying? Look into it, guys. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well,
it's 10 o'clock, Josh. I think we've got enough to digest for part one of this. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Part two, we could go into, we can go hell is Let's in go the earth.
Inward. Yeah.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah.
Most of what you've said tonight, I've heard before on some level or another. I love that this is coming. This is the most directly Christian perspective that I've gotten on this, which is really great. But I'm not too familiar with the idea of hell being inside the earth. I mean, I am from childhood.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, 100% that heaven up, hell down.
Yes.
That's the way it came to me as a child. You know, I was raised Christian, so I spent my time in church.
All right.
But yeah, I'd love to hear that maybe next time.
That'd yeah. be great. Let's get it on, man. And then I'll try to get you guys on my show if you guys are down, and then we'll do a, just, it's all right. Just think of a subject that you guys would like to do on my show. And that way I get like a week of research, and then we'll all get together and we'll knock it out on my show. And then I'll jump back on your guys' show for part two. Be looking out for it, guys.
That sounds awesome. Once again, Josh, before you get out of here, plug away and tell everybody about your stuff.
Okay. So if you go to Josh_Monday_podcast, that's my Instagram. You can follow me there. It's Josh Monday. Let me just get you guys the exact YouTube, because I switched it up on it, because I have music on there and I also have my YouTube. So it's going to be Josh Monday Music and Podcast. If you guys don't look up my YouTube, if you want to look up our podcast on Spotify, Apple, or any distributor, just look up Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcast, and you guys will see that. And if you guys could show some love on the comment section below, I know you guys, this is going to be on YouTube. And if you guys have anything that you do want us to go over next time, or if you guys have any suggestions, as far as the audience, let us know. I would like to go into where hell is located, since we already went where heaven is located. And I think that'd be nice. Maybe we could talk about demons and angels as well. Just biblically, not people's opinions. What right. the Bible actually says about hell being in the earth. And I'll also tell you guys alternative views of that as well.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds excellent.
Right on. Well, thank you, Chud, for we did a podcast earlier in the evening too. So thanks for hanging in there for the second one. And we really
appreciate it. Way past my bedtime.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I just want to say thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's nice to meet both of you. And thank you for hanging out. You guys kind of let me just kind of information dump on your podcast, biblical stuff. So I'm glad you guys let me do this. I appreciate it. And I love you both, man. You guys are both awesome people. Thank you so much.
Right on, bro. That's great. You're welcome. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. We'll talk soon, man. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you both.
All right. God bless you, man. See you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass. Delay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order are idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that 7-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.